On Thursdays, we read from your letters. We start today with a correction to a story we presented Monday about Nevada politics. I misstated a rancher's reasons for being unhappy with actions of the Clinton administration related to grazing on federal land. The rancher was angered by what he calls an increase in paperwork related to grazing, not an increase in fees for those rights. Mr. Clinton asked for a hike in fees, but Congress was unwilling to go along.
Dennis Moore of Bedford, Indiana, thanked us for Robert's interview with reporter Matthew Wald on the environmental drawbacks of hydrogen fuel cells. In it, Wald said that in order to produce enough hydrogen to fuel cars, we would pollute the environment. Wald said present-day hybrid cars are cleaner.
Dennis Moore writes, "When zero emissions vehicle was one of the big buzzwords, I used to cringe every time I heard it. There's no such thing as a zero emissions vehicle, merely displaced emissions vehicles. I often wondered if anyone had ever done a study on the environmental friendliness of these displaced emissions, and now my question has been answered."
But Todd Norman of Denver, Colorado, complained that we never mentioned one possible source of hydrogen, water. He writes, "We are surrounded by oceans of water, and we need only to desalinate the ocean water, or get water from the tap, then send electricity through it, and you get hydrogen. With it, we could be powering every car, home, and building, and never have a blackout ever again, all while healing global warming and ending pollution."
Well, we went to our science desk to ask if this would work. NPR's David Kestenbaum is here. David, what do you think about Mr. Norman's suggestion?
Well, he's right. Water is H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. And if you take a battery and two wires and you stick the wires in a glass of water, you're going to get little bubbles of hydrogen and little bubbles of oxygen. The problem is that you need some source of electricity, and then you're back to your very first question, which is, where are we going to get the power to make the hydrogen? You could get it from solar power, but solar is right now expensive, and otherwise you're left with the same options we have now: nuclear, coal, natural gas, wind.
Thank you. NPR's David Kestenbaum.
Margot Adler's story about perfumes named after New York City neighborhoods caught the attention of native New Yorker Mary Jane Rochelson, who now lives in Miami, Florida. She says, "I was disappointed that there was no scent named after the neighborhood where I grew up, Brooklyn's Flatbush, more specifically Midwood. Such a perfume would be stylish, sporty, just a little bit sweet, down to earth, but bold enough to take on the world. I don't usually wear perfume, but I'd buy that one in a New York minute."
And Melissa's interview with Laura Shapiro about her book, Something from the Oven, caused some of our listeners to reminisce on food from the 50s. Levi Barkley of Appleton, Wisconsin writes, "It reminds me of a story that my dad tells about eating supper with my mom's family for the first time. Meatloaf and potatoes. He gets a slice of meatloaf with bits of purple, red, orange, green, and yellow in it. Turns out, Granny uses Fruit Loops in place of breadcrumbs. It makes me smile every time I think of how confused an upper Midwesterner, used to home-cooked meals, would have been. Granny has passed on, but we still bring Jell-O salad to the family get-togethers in her memory."
And Mr. Barkley adds, "It also reminds me of that song about the lime Jell-O marshmallow cottage cheese surprise." You can write to us at atc@npr.org, and be sure to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.